Acts chapter 17, please, beginning to read in the first verse. This is one of the events of Paul's second missionary journey. What I have to say this morning is not very deep and it's not very complicated. As a matter of fact, I was a little concerned about the sufficiency of it until the Lord spoke prophetically just a few moments ago. Acts chapter 17, verse 1. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered, risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus." And they troubled the people, and the rulers of the city, when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, then they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily whether these things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women which were Greeks, and of men not a few. When the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. Then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea. But Silas and Timotheus abode there still. They that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed. They departed. Now, I want to draw a comparison today in brief terms, if I might, a significant difference between the economy of the kingdom of God and the economy of the world. I use the word economy loosely. What I mean by that is the way that men are evaluated in the kingdom of God is not at all the same as the method by which men evaluate other men. Generally, in the world, according to the flesh, men are evaluated as to whether or not they are well-born, whether they are wealthy, whether they are successful, whether they have positions in their relationships with other men. In the kingdom of God, it's not so. But there are noble men in the kingdom of God. The 11th verse is the one I want to draw your attention to today. The Lord had spoken to me some time ago, back early in my ministry, and he said to me then, and I've shared it with you many times since then, he said, "What I teach you, that I want you to teach the people." And what he's teaching me this week is the 11th verse. He's teaching me that there was something significant about these men at Berea. The Word of God says that they were more noble than those at Thessalonica. The word noble means to be well-born. It means to be honorable. It means to be of high rank. Now we hear in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, the 26th verse, Paul said, "You know, brethren, that as you were called, there are not many mighty, not many noble, which are called." There do not seem to be a great many of the well-born or the mighty in the earth that seem to find their way into the kingdom of God. But yet the Spirit of God makes a very interesting observation concerning these men in Berea. He says they were more noble than those of Thessalonica. And in the balance of the 11th verse and the early part of the 12th verse, he explains why these men were considered in the kingdom of God to be well-born of high rank and honorable. Brother John, when you brought the word of the Lord this morning, you brought a word along this way, along these lines, let the man of low degree, what was the rest of it? Rejoice. Let the men of low degree rejoice. And as you spoke that, this word just jumped up once again in my spirit. I knew this is the word that the Lord had for us this morning, but I didn't know exactly what point he was trying to make. That there is a nobility in the kingdom of God that has no basis and has no foundation in our worldly or earthly circumstances. There is an honorable state in the kingdom of God that does not have its instigation in our relationship with the world or our position in the world. When Paul went to Thessalonica, the Jews that were there that had access to his word not only rejected the word and resisted his ministry, but set all the rest of the people against him, and it caused them to have to flee Thessalonica for their life. But when they arrived in Berea, the men there were found to be noble men, and there are three reasons why. The first is, you see it in verse 11, they were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that, or because of the fact that, number one, they received the word with all readiness of mind. In the kingdom of God, in the sight of God, a man's honor is determined by his response to the word of God. They received the word of God rather than rejected it. They received it with all readiness of mind. The second thing that is described here is that they were willing to search the scriptures on a daily basis. That the word of God was important enough to them that they searched it to see whether or not the things that Paul was teaching and preaching were true. They were people of the word. Hence, we find many groups within our churches today have you ever heard of a Berean Bible class? Or a Berean Sunday school class? Or a Berean group? Some of you may be familiar with the Berean bookstore that's down in the East Point area. That whole idea, the whole name is after these men at Berea because of their hunger and their eagerness for the word of God. And the third aspect of their nobility is contained in the 12th verse. Therefore, many of them believed. What did they do? They received the word of God with all readiness of mind. They searched the scriptures daily and consistently, and they determined to believe it. The word of God says that these men are considered to be noble. Now, I want you to turn with me to the book of Matthew, please, the 19th chapter. And I trust the Spirit of the Lord will minister to you the significance of this truth. Oftentimes, when I am declaring the Word of God, I have an overwhelming awareness of the inadequacy of the mind, and the inadequacy of the tongue and the language that we speak to one another with. I am overwhelmed sometimes with the inadequacy of our means of communication here on the earth to communicate what God lays on the heart. Do you understand what I mean? And I don't know any other way to do it except to express as best I can and to share the passages of Scripture that the Lord has given me and exercise my faith that He will move by His Spirit in your life and in your circumstances. There are times when I preach the word that I have an amazing exhilaration when I know that the words that are coming forth from my mouth are communicating and that they are speaking to your hearts as well as to your minds. And it's wonderful to declare in that way. There are other times when I must preach the word of God simply by faith and strictly and purely with the knowledge and the certainty that it is God's word wherein the power is contained. And it is the word itself that will minister to your hearts. I'm not terribly concerned, in other words, whether when you go forth from the service you ever say, wow, did he preach a great message today? Because oftentimes when he preaches a great message, it doesn't do you nearly as much good in your heart. It's when the Spirit of God takes the word of God and ministers it, to your spirit man. How many of you understand what I'm trying to get across to you? Matthew chapter 19 is beginning in the 16th verse. There is a story that we commonly have referred to as the story of the rich young ruler. This would be a man of noble birth, a man of noble means. He would be an honorable man by the world's standards because of his wealth. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? It's interesting that he should ask that question, What lack I yet? In other words, he realized he had not yet received. There's something lacking. What is it? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. How did he respond to the word of God? He responded negatively. He rejected it. He walked away from it. He may be a man of noble birth and a man of noble means, but he has no standing in the kingdom of God. The next story I want to take you to is John chapter 5. Similar circumstance in the beginning of the story, but with a completely different result. I'm sorry, it's chapter 4. John chapter 4, beginning to read in the 46th verse. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. There was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. Here's a man also of apparently noble birth and noble means, a man well born, of high rank, according to the world. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal or cure his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down, ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour, in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. Now here's a man who found nobility in the kingdom of God. Now I want you to turn with me, please, to the book of Proverbs, the third chapter. I want to declare something to you this morning. Proverbs chapter 3. Some of you do not feel very noble. Some of you do not feel very honorable. Some of you, because of your circumstances or because of your heritage, your earthly heritage, you do not feel well born. Some of you have mothers and fathers who not only had little or no position of honor in the world, but who were not born again, who did not know Jesus or do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Some of you have suffered or felt embarrassment because of your earthly circumstances. There are some of you who are embarrassed to invite someone into your home because, John, the walls aren't painted. Isn't that what the Lord said today? Because the walls aren't painted, or because the carpet is worn, or because it's spotted, or because you don't have dishes that are just right, or there's something there that causes you to not feel as if you're a person of honor or that you're a person that has anything to offer others. There are some of you that are condemned because as you look around you, you see that your own circumstances are not quite as honorable even as those sinners and heathen that you know. I want you to know today that Jesus Christ has made you kings and priests, and that regardless how you feel, you are not what you feel. You are what God said you are. And if you have received the Word of God with a readiness of mind, if you are a person who is anchored in the Word of God and the Scriptures are important to you, and if you have exercised faith in the Word of God, God says you're a noble person. Even though your first birth may not have been more noble, you cannot be a child of the King of Heaven and not be noble. We must learn to believe what God said about us rather than to believe how we feel. Now, these are some of the promises that are yours. Proverbs chapter 3, when Joan was prophesying a moment ago, or a few moments ago, these are two scriptures that came to me on that occasion. I want you to know that this is what's happening in your life, whether you have seen it yet or not. This is what's happening in the life of this church. When we first, as Claire shared earlier this morning, in the first year of our operation, we did not have a building. We did not have a pastor. We did not have a, we didn't have chairs to sit on that we owned. The place we met in was owned by someone else. The chairs we sat on were owned by someone else. We did not have, as I said, a pastor of our own. We had very little of anything that we could call our own, but yet we took a portion right off the top of everything that came in and began to give it to others. We believed the Word of God. We received it with a readiness of mind. We searched the Scriptures for ourselves, and we believed it and acted upon it, and God's honoring it. And what we are seeing now in our church is simply a result of the Word of God coming to pass for us. And it will come to pass for you as individuals and as families as well. No matter what your circumstances are, we're not ruled by circumstances, we're ruled by the Word of God. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Verse 10. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. I want you to say with me, my barn is filled with plenty. My barn is filled with plenty. My presses are bursting out. My presses are bursting out. My finances are plentiful.
My finances are plentiful.
I have so much.
It's bursting out.
My bank is not big enough to hold it. Now that takes some faith to say that. That takes some faith to say that. But isn't that what the Word is saying? There aren't many of us that have wine presses or barns anymore, but we do have paychecks and pocketbooks and bank accounts. God's Word promised us. He promised us as individuals and as families, and He promised us as a church. We see it happening in our church. You will have it happen in your family as well. If you will honor the Lord with the first fruits of your increase and with your substance, your barn will be filled with not just enough to get by, it will be filled with plenty, and your presses will burst out with new wine. You say, Pastor, can you guarantee it? Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. I guarantee it. I want you to know something. If that is not true, if it's not true, then how do you know any of the rest of it is? If you don't think that's true, then how can you base your eternal security and your eternal future on a God that said, whomsoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? How can you believe that? It's either all true or it's none of it true. Malachi now, chapter 3. Let's look at that one. Pastor, don't you ever have any financial problems? No, I don't. That's right, I don't. I have some difficulties along the way, but I don't have any problems. Jesus was made poor so that I might become rich. I have many opportunities to have problems. I have just as many opportunities to have financial problems as you do, but I don't have any financial problems. Don't your finances ever come under attack? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, they do. But I just don't allow them to be, I don't allow myself to be defeated in that area. Malachi verse chapter 3, verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now, or put me to the test herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, and there shall not be room enough to receive it. My bank is not big enough to hold it. Do you see that? There shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, if it's not here yet, it's certainly on the way. And if I'm not counting it, I'm expecting it. It's coming. It's on the way. When I pray, I believe I receive it, and I'll have it. And if I'm not enjoying it today, I'm just expecting it. It'll be here this afternoon. If not this afternoon, it'll be here in the morning. If not the morning, it'll be here tomorrow. It'll be here Tuesday. If not Tuesday, I don't need it yet. Nor can I use it yet. But when I need it, I'll have it. I remember one day believing God for 20-some thousand dollars that I had a note due. 20-some thousand dollars was due on a Friday. And I didn't know where that $20,000 was going to come from. But I prayed it in. I just told the Lord, I believe it's $23,000 on a note. It's a business. It was a business situation. Lord, you know that Friday is the deadline, and I owed it to a company in Chicago. You know that Friday is the deadline, and I've got to have it on Friday. I'm just trusting you for it, and I just leave it in your hands. I've done what you told me to do. I've honored you with my substance, the first fruits of my increase. As far as the business is concerned, I've done the same, and I expect your word to come to pass for me in that area. That was on Tuesday, as I recall. Do you know on Wednesday we had one of the worst days of receipts that we had had? On Thursday it was equally bad. And on Friday, the mailman might not have, he would not necessary for him to stop at our place. And so when I looked at the amount of money that I had available on Friday morning and looked at the note that was due, there was just absolutely no way that they were going to come. I don't mean I was a few hundred dollars apart. I was as far apart as the note was for. Have you ever been there? I did not know what I was going to do. Later on in the day, it's several years ago now, and I don't remember exactly when, but during the course of the day, the company that I owed the money to, the lady that was handling all of that called me on the telephone about another matter. And in the course of that conversation, she said, by the way, Vic, we've adjusted that note and we've rolled that 90 days for you, and it's not due today. We just rolled it over for 90 more days. I learned something that day. I thought I needed that $23,000. I think it was $23,000. I thought I needed it Friday. And when I didn't have it, I had a real opportunity to have a financial problem. But I decided not to have a financial problem. I decided that God's word was true. And he saw that I didn't have the need. He moved the need. I didn't have to ask them to move it. They moved it automatically. I don't even remember the reason why. Why they moved it, why they rolled it. I don't even remember the reason. That's not the first or the last time that I've had that happen. God knows what we need. And if I'm having a financial difficulty, I just refuse to allow it to become a problem. Why? Because verse 11, God said, I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. He's not going to eat up my squash, nor is he going to rob my business or my employees or my family. He won't do it. Now, there's only one way he can. That is, if I begin to worry and fret and exercise fear and stop believing the promise of God, the devil will come in there and just eat up everything. My squash will be all gone. Do you understand what I mean? All my cows will get hoof and mouth. Everything will be gone if I stop believing. As long as I continue to trust God, do you know what he's doing? He's rebuking the devourer. Hoof and mouth can't attach itself to my cows, and nor can poverty attach itself to my business, my job, my whatever it is, where my source of income is coming from. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And verse 12, all the nations shall call you stupid for giving so much to the Lord and being so poor. Now, that's the way a lot of Christians seem to think, because that's the way the devil would have you believe. But the Word of God said, all the nations will call you blessed. How can you do that? You seem to have so much, and you give so much to the Lord. And you will be a delightsome land. Do you know what the Hebrew word for delightsome is? Not a Hebrew word. I believe it is. It's either Beulah or Hephzibah. Is it Hephzibah? Hephzibah. There's a little town in Georgia down by Augusta named Hephzibah. I like that. I like the name of that. Over in Isaiah, God uses those words. You shall be Beulah and Hephzibah. And I thought I had it there, and then I lost it just a minute. Thank you, John, for helping me. You will be called Hephzibah. You can call me Hephzibah if you want to. I won't be offended. You will be called a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. People are beginning to get the picture regarding Water of Life Christian Center. They're beginning to get the message. They'll get it about you, too. They'll get it about you personally, and they'll get it about your family. A delightsome land, because God always honors his word, and he always produces on it. All nations will call you blessed. You'll be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Noble, because you receive the word of God. Noble, because you search the scriptures. Noble, because you believe the word of the Lord and walk in faith according to it. Let's pray.